Welcome to Cultivating Hearts. We hope that you're having as good a day as we're having here in the studio. We have just been getting a little off subject, but we're here, and we have been talking about Tara Rye's Bible Study Portable Sanctuary, and we have been hitting the whole aspect of consecration really hard.
We have.
It's been a little convicting.
We've been
talking about being called out. We've been talking about being people of God and stepping out, stepping out in a big way. And then we'll go ahead and jump right into Joshua giving the command to his people. And do you want me to go ahead and read or
sure.
to talk
Why don't
about
you just
what
start
the
with that verse? Give us the verse.
Okay, we are in Joshua 3, and we're going to start with verse 9. And it goes like this. Joshua said to the Israelites, "Come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. This is how you will know that the living God is among you, and that he will certainly drive out all the enemyites." I'm sure
That's
your
good.
Bible doesn't say that. "See, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth will go into the Jordan ahead of you."
This is awesome. This is an amazing passage right here. So we have looked at that God's called us to be set apart. We have looked at the fact that he has called us out to be leaders that are willing to go before the people and stand in the places that aren't safe. And now we have where he has given the command to the people. What needs to happen so that the people are consecrated? And so he gives them the challenge. He tells them to consecrate themselves. He tells the priest to go take care of their job. And then God looks at him and he says, "I will exalt you before the people. And they will know that I am with you just as I was with Moses." So God is letting him know that he's the one that does the lifting up of a person. And then he looks out at the people and he says to them, "Come here and listen to the words of the Lord." That's it right there. That sums up consecration in the simplest of form, is that it's a willingness and a heart to come to where we can hear the words of God, and then not only just hear them, but to do what it says. Now, what I love about when he told the priests to go, It says, "So the priest took up and they went ahead of the people." Mm-hmm. He said it, they did it. There is no time break. And then God tells him what he's going to do. And then he gives the command to the people as he begins to tell the people what God's going to do. And he lists out some things that are going to happen. As we look at this passage, and you guys, you can take from where it goes further on if you want, what are some things you see that God is going to do for them when they come and listen? If you just think through the story, what are some things you saw or can think of? What about the enemyites? What does he say is going to happen to them?
Drive them out.
Mm-hmm. All right. He's going to drive out the enemy.
Yep.
He says, "Come and listen to the words of the Lord." He says to them, "This is how you will know the living God is among you." Mm-hmm. And this is really important because they are going into a land that is filled with idols, filled with idol worship. The Canaanites were the vilest of idol worshipers you could possibly imagine. And as a reminder to them, they needed to hear the word of God, know the word of God, so that they could understand who the living God is, and watch and be amazed as he drives out their enemy. What does that tell us today for ourselves in our land? How can I know that the living God is amongst us? How can I know that God is here? What is it that I need to do to see the living God? What do I need to do?
Come and listen.
Consecration of prayer, Bible study, fellowship, and worship, and then eventually it will lead to service. Mm-hmm. It is, we have to come and listen. And I was looking up and trying to find consecration in the New Testament, wanting to see what was said, and there is a beautiful verse in Timothy that Paul says to Timothy as he's talking about dealing with the idols in the land as well. And so, Sandy, you were going to read for us in 2 Timothy?
No, I thought you said 1 Timothy 4:5.
It is 1 Timothy 4:5.
Oh, I'm right on 4.
Okay, go ahead and read that verse for us.
Okay, it says 4, 5. Got to find 5.
Got it?
I'll start with 4.
Well, that's good.
For everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, because it is consecrated by the word of God in prayer.
What consecrates things based on this passage?
The word of God and prayer.
Mm-hmm. All right. And there's thanksgiving in
there. Thanksgiving, oh, yes.
He's going through and he's talking to Timothy. He says that in later times, some are going to abandon the faith. They're going to follow deceiving spirits. They're going to follow teachings, hypocritical liars, people's consciences that are not in the will of God. They're going to forbid people to marry, and they're going to forbid people of foods. And he's telling him, look, if in thanksgiving, something is consecrated by God's word and prayer. So we know consecration happens through the word and prayer. Mm-hmm. And thanksgiving, we're told, we're commanded, give mm-hmm. thanks in mm-hmm. all things, yeah. all seasons. And we should pray without ceasing. Mm-hmm. And then you add in that mixture the word of God, and this is when we see the amazing things happen. And so this is what he's asking them to do. Come and see. Come and see what God is doing. See how God's at work. He's going to drive out these enemies. And he lists all those different enemyites that, you know, we were joking about, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, which I always want to say parasites, and Girgashites, Amorites, and the Jebusites. What's your enemy? Mm-hmm. What's howling around you? Mm-hmm. What is the enemy in our land right now? Who is it? What does it look like? Well, if we, the people, come and listen and draw near to God, God promises, if you draw near to me, I will draw near to you. Tanya, that's in James. Why don't you go ahead and read that one for us? Was it James 4:8, I think, right? Mm. I'm thinking it's James 4:8. It may be 4, yeah, it's 4:8.
Okay.
I'm thinking so.
I have it. It says, ooh. How about I start in 7? So humble yourselves.
That's why I was thinking okay. Like 7 and 8 is where I was put together.
So humble yourselves before God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come close to God and God will come close mm-hmm. to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world.
Consecration.
That is beautiful, isn't it? Mm-hmm. It's like beautiful.
I think we can talk about those enemies for a second.
Yeah.
Do you think?
Yeah.
Because whether it could be fear.
Yeah.
Pride.
A fear of, you know, with insecurity mm-hmm. issues. Sure. It could be fear of, I'm just thinking, we have such a heart for North Omaha, my husband mm-hmm. and I. It could be fear of that, you know, that there's shootings, there's gangs, mm-hmm, there's yeah. just some sad stuff that the enemy has a hold of, but I just don't have fear. You know, God's taken that from me, so I know he can. Mm. When we pray over it, it could be shame because of past sins.
Mm-hmm. Doubt.
Mm-hmm. Doubt.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's doubt. A big one.
Well, it's just idols, whatever idol yeah. it is. And it could be something you touch. It's your money. It's your cars. It's your
children.
Material possessions. It's your children. It
your grandchildren.
Spouse. Yeah, it can mm-hmm. be yourself.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Anything we put mm-hmm. before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's... This, all of this here is what we can end up holding in esteem before God. Mm-hmm. And he tells us in this passage in James, what does he say? He says, grieve, mourn, and wail.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Grieve, mourn, and wail. And the first time I read that and I thought, well, what in the world does that mean? God wants me to be a blubbering idiot? I didn't really mm-hmm. understand what God meant by that. As I am learning and growing, I'm finding, without even realizing it, that grieving, mourning, and wailing can come in a split second mm-hmm. as God brings brokenness in my heart mm-hmm. for something that he is broken for. And in particular, I have shared, you know, leading out in prayer at the church and the feeling of inadequacy of attempting to even say that I even can, if that even makes sense, because mm-hmm. I don't feel equipped.
But and is that like a control thing? Do you feel like that's a control thing because you don't have, I mean, you can't make something happen, you can only do what you can do kind of thing?
No, not for me. It's the reality in that
You can't do it without him.
No, yeah, that's exactly it. And that I'm just one person. It takes the whole tribe.
Okay.
And that one person can't lead out in that kind of thing. One person can begin it. But from there, we have to do what he did with the disciples and taking two with you.
Mm-hmm.
But part of it is that being the willingness to be the steadfast leader,
to be one
to
that
go
steps out
into the water,
and that is wearing.
It is. It's exhausting. And so just this week, guys, as I was praying through all this and praying about that, I was just weeping. It wasn't something that was in my thoughts. I didn't think about it. I didn't think, oh, I'm sad about this. I was just praying. And then all of a sudden, that grieving of longing for spiritual maturity in the church, for a hunger and thirst for righteousness, for the lack of maturity that I have shown, the lack of maturity the body of Christ is showing, that is what he's talking about, where we are broken for the spiritual depth of one another. And recognizing that that spiritual depth needs to come from me, but do you know what I mean? Remember I said it's that to the next level. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's almost like in that moment you have the heart of God literally inside of you, and he's coming out in that grief because you're feeling his pain in it.
I couldn't even explain it. And it happened, of all things, while Greg, Grant, and I were sitting at the dinner table, and Grant was doing our prayer over our meal. You know, thank you, God, for this food, and that Michaela's in Puerto Rico. And as he was praying, because I had been praying about it, it hit me. And I'm sitting there with Greg and Grant, and I'm just weeping. And I just look at them, and I'm like, you know, do you see that I am leading? Do you see that I have God's Spirit at work? Do you see that I am calling out? Do you see, and asking the tough questions of my closest people to hold me accountable? And do you see, and that's what God wants to have happen in us. I confess it doesn't happen as often as it should, but to where we're willing to say, God, break me. Give me your heart of compassion, the way that your heart is broken for the spiritual depth you long for us to have.
Isn't it a proverb that says the wounds of a friend
are so much better than
the flattering tongue and the enemy. So may we have that heart of please call me out, correct me if there's ever a spirit of pride or disunity or whatever it is in anything that's shared or that you feel, or but may we have that openness amongst our fellow believers so that we're not defensive when that comes up, right? And the pride rises.
Was it 3 weeks ago we talked about admonishment? What is part of the definition, of encouragement? What is part of the definition of encouragement?
It's admonishment.
Admonishment.
Yeah.
And being willing to receive that, that's not an easy thing. I find my most difficult thing is because I am such a stinking people pleaser.
Me too.
That I want them to like me. I don't want to say the encouragement where they hear the admonishment. I want to say the encouragement just so that they are like, oh, she's so nice.
Yeah. Right.
That's what I want.
We all like that.
You know, that's interesting because one thing I struggle with is almost becoming paralyzed while I'm waiting to share the admonishment or encouragement, making sure, wait, how am I in this area first before I speak it? And so sometimes it takes a little while to just make sure we're okay, but then share.
That we're just not
but
speaking.
At least you're recognizing it to share it.
You're recognizing the log, your eye.
Right.
The
big plank.
That's right.
Because sometimes God brings that right in front of our face so that we can check ourselves.
I have found that any time I've pointed my finger, it's because it's my sin. I have never pointed my... I can honestly say I have never pointed my finger at anyone for a sin that I myself did not own.
I know.
I have definitely...
I do believe that judge, and you will be judged. So if you haven't been there, you're going to be.
And I think that's what brings that depth of the spirit of humility, really seeing who we are before God,
who we
well,
are
that's,
before.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. the psychological aspect of stuff. You know, where you, you know, you see something in somebody else that you either like or don't like, and you become critical of that because it's something that's a fester, you know, in you.
Well, I think Tara told it one time we talked about judging when you were talking about doing that, that you probably will judge.
I
but
know,
it's what you
I,
do
I
with
do,
that judgment is what's important.
It's what, in any of Absolutely. Our sin, any sin, yeah. any sin, yeah. It's not that I'm not going to sin.
Right.
It's not that you're not going to sin. We are sinners.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We all fall short of the glory of God. It's what am I doing with my sin?
Right.
You know, and Marge Caldwell, I know she's been in Omaha. She used to teach charm classes. She's amazing. She's gone to be with the Lord. She'd probably be close to 100 years old now. Mm-hmm. And she said, you know, I just have my Dr. Pepper with God. And I'm like, what? And I guess on the old Dr. Pepper bottles, they used to have a 10, 2, 4 number going across. And so you were supposed to have a Dr. Pepper at each of those times.
Oh, really?
And she says, we should all have our Dr. Pepper break. And that we, at these certain times of day, determine
prayer?
In our heart mm-hmm. and ask God, do I have any sin mm-hmm. that's collected up since the last time I talked to you and deal with it? And she said, by getting in the habit of doing that, it taught her to keep a short account with God. Mm-hmm. And that was profound for me when mm-hmm. I heard her teach on that. She was an amazing woman of God, amazing, full of character. Mm. Learned a lot from her. She used to teach a women's Bible study called the M&M. Marge, and I don't even remember the other lady's name. Marge was so... Marge impacted me so much. But so here we are looking at consecration. 1 minute. We have 1 minute and 20 seconds. Shelly's given me the, hey, pay attention. Guys, this has been an amazing month. Mm-hmm. I really, you know, as you're listening, we don't know where you're at, but God does. And what you need to know is that God sees. Mm. And that God has a spiritual leader near you. God wants you to draw near to him. He has somebody that can show you how you need to go forward. It's, you need to open your eyes to see who it is. If you're called out to be the spiritual leader, don't wait. Mm-hmm. Whatever it is he's calling you out to do, do it. You want to see the amazing things that he's got. And then
Amen.
People, mm-hmm. that includes us, we need to get in the Word. Mm-hmm. If you're not a reader, go to BibleIs.com. You can listen to it for free. And if you are a reader, get in the Word, 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 and then pray the Word, mm-hmm. pray the Word. And so that is what sets us apart, the Word and prayer. And I'm so glad you're listening. This has just been so much fun. And I'm just going to say thank you, and we love you, and God bless. Mm-hmm.